verses 7 through 11. And as you've been patient, I'll read the patience. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And then to Romans 8:22-25. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So at this time, I'd like to invite our pastor, Tom, and I can hardly wait for the patience.
You know, I don't know, and we may never know, if Brother Charlie did that on purpose. I do know that Brother Wilfred had talked about a plan of coming up here and announcing a song and then just standing there and waiting and to see how patient we would be, but I think he chickened out on that. I also was thinking this morning that our church is very intent on speaking the full counsel of God, and sometimes we get a little bit of a narrow focus, and that's what we're doing as we go through this Fruit of the Spirit series. Patience is not the whole counsel of God. And I want you to keep that in mind. We need to read the scriptures and look at various things that God has taught us. But of course, sometimes it's very useful and important to focus in on a few of the details. So I hope we will impress our guests by reciting the theme text for the whole series. Is everybody ready? We have memorized the Galatians chapter. But, it starts out, because it's comparing to what had been said earlier, the fruit of the Spirit is
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
I'm impressed. I hope our visitors are impressed, too. We've got it down. Excellent. Thank you. I hope you'll allow me a little flexibility, because having now passed 3 months on the island, being an old salt, well, maybe not quite yet, I have to admit that life is a little more relaxed on the island than I've experienced. So if you'll follow with me, I want to take you back to what God allowed me to do in a little bit busier and more hectic lifestyle in my previous church. I want to tell you about a typical Wednesday. My alarm rang at 5:35. I used to set it at 5:30, but found out that I could wait those 5 extra minutes and still make it. And then I pick out clothes for the day, take a shower. When I get showered and dressed, I read devotions while the computer is booting up, then check the email while putting on my shoes at my desk. My study was in the parsonage. You need to know that. So it was about 25 steps from the shower to my desk. Check email, as I said. By 5:55, I go upstairs and make coffee, and then I take my vitamins while the coffee is brewing and make a piece of toast or have a piece of fruit. When the coffee is done, I fill my travel mug and fill the thermos. I set them by my Bible, and then I take a few minutes, okay? If there's a few minutes left, I take a few more minutes to check some more email or open my sermon and look at it for a few minutes and meditate on it for a few minutes, keeping an eye on the clock. And I leave for prayer warriors at 6:20, 6:25 if there's important or interesting email, and then I push it a little too close, you know, get to church just barely on time, because it takes 4 minutes to go get in the car, start it, go to church, park it, and unlock the church door. Most everyone who will come will be there by 6:30, although sometimes we have to wait for a regular if they're not quite there yet. Then we read scripture, read about some nation in the world through Operation World, and we pray about that nation in the world each week. Share prayer requests, have a time of prayer, and always try to finish by 7:55. Okay? Did you notice how much has happened now since 5:35? 4 minutes to get back to the study, do some reading for my study group meeting that will be later that day. And then depending, some of you won't know this geography, okay, but our prayer group meets in Orange City and Sioux Center and Hall and Sheldon. Okay? So that means that you have to establish different amounts of time to get to the different places. So I have to leave at, in that order, 9:30 or 9:30 or 9:20 or 9:10 to get to each of the study group spots. The study group and the prayer time, we try to finish by noon, we have lunch together, and then the 30, 40, or 50 minutes back to my study. And I sometimes have to skip lunch if we have our ministerial association meeting on Wednesday afternoon, but that's once a month. You get the picture, right? I admit other days than Wednesdays weren't quite that structured and quite that hectic. But I wonder, thinking back to that experience, maybe some of us still get a little structured by the clock. A little bit, got a couple more minutes before I have to go do this, and then a couple more minutes to go do that. And judging from the eye contact and nodding heads, you all know what I mean. Sometimes the clock controls us, sometimes uncomfortably so. You might not know this, but in some churches, people get upset, or they can get upset, if a church service goes more than 70 minutes. Now, for our visitors, I will tell you, we're pretty used to about 90. So if you were worried about 70, get over it. But we can compare. I mean, we're not bragging or complaining here. We can compare with some other places, like I've never been there, but I know people who've been there. And in Nigeria, worship services can go 4 to 5 hours. People don't, they have to sometimes walk or travel a great distance. They don't want to just come for 70 minutes or 90 minutes. They want to spend some time together in their weekly meeting. I've also not been there, but I'm told Greek Orthodox services sometimes go on for hours on end. And in fact, sometimes people come for one part of it, and then they go home and have lunch, and then they come back and continue the rest of the service. We might try that. No, just kidding. My ancestors back in Holland many years back sometimes stood outside of town because it was dangerous to read the scriptures and to hear God's word in town. And they sometimes stood outside of town in the forest for 8 hours to hear and hearing the word of God. Now, many of us have a work ethic, and that makes many of us quite productive. It was interesting when I heard from my niece, who lives in Sarasota, Florida, that her boss informed her one day that he would hire, sight unseen, anybody from her home area back in the Midwest if they would come to work for him in Florida. Chicago is known as a city that works, and reportedly, and a couple of our kids live there, so we know it's expensive to live there, some people work 2 and 3 jobs in order to keep up, to be productive, to earn an income. And unfortunately, that leads to quite a lot of divorce in the Chicago area, and others too. From our back home, from our previous home, down south and West River, anybody know what West River is? Yeah, a couple of you do. In South Dakota, there's two parts of South Dakota. And one of them is South Dakota, and the other one is West River, west of the Missouri River. And some of those places, and all of you probably know of other examples, okay? I'm thinking back to the culture that I know quite well. But lots of places have a little more relaxed attitude about life. Don't let the clock run them so much. Like Ivory Coast or Nicaragua or Mexico or Guam. Some of those places, a set time means very little. Guam time? Are you kidding me? Now, I'm not against a work ethic. In fact, I think it's a good thing. And I also think, like most of the other issues in our lives, that it should be held in a healthy balance. We should be productive some of the time, and we shouldn't be, as my Wednesdays back in Iowa were, so mandated and run by a clock that it's frantic and hectic. We need to have a balance in our life. But we certainly need to beware of an overemphasis of productivity if it is to the expense of other parts of life. In other words, it's good to be productive, but don't overdo it. We need balance. You might not realize that the word that is translated patience in our text and in Proverbs, in fact, every place, I believe, in the Scripture, is sometimes translated long-suffering. Now, we might speak of someone with a short temper. We don't have a word for a long temper. Okay? Except, we maybe do have a word for it. It's patience. If we had such an English word, it would be very close to the meaning of the original word in Greek that Paul uses in our text, our theme text. In our own language, being patient and being a patient came from the same word. So, for example, Wilfred's sister is learning about patience as a patient. And those ideas often go together. The most interesting thing is that both being patient and being a patient require yielding control to someone else, to doctors or nurses or other people. You may or may not even know who they are. But to be patient means you give control. And you especially give up control of some things. It means rather than being the actor and in control, we need to come to grips with being acted upon and not being in control. Like all the fruit of the Spirit, patience has its roots in God's character. And the Bible speaks of God being slow to anger. It's difficult for us to get our minds around the idea of this yielding control as a feature of our mighty, all-powerful God. God has a willingness to yield control. And we maybe see that most easily and most often when we see God works slowly. At least from our point of view. That's the time when we are tempted to say, well, if God can do anything, he can do it now instead of later. Right? And we need it. And we need it now. God, give me patience and give it to me now. An all-powerful God, why does he need to have patience, and why does he need to yield control, and why does he need to take his time? Well, we sort of know. We sang a brilliant song about that. It's in his time, not ours. When we want to be in control, we don't get to be. We almost never get to be. We are trained to be in control. We desire to be in control. Most every one of us knows some car passengers who may feel completely calm when they're behind the wheel and then not so calm when they're the passenger. Some don't like a system. Some churches use a system for selecting elders and deacons, a lot system. And I have I've heard people specifically complain that they don't like it, and they haven't always admitted it in these words, but the reason, they're not in control. They can't give up control. even as we believe in places that use that system, that God is the one who makes the final selection, there are people who say, no, I want to decide. I want to be in control. Being not in control and being patient has a purpose, just as God's own patience has a purpose. Notice, please, God is slow to anger. That is absolutely true, but it does not mean he does not get angry. He's slow to anger. He's patient. God bears with people for a time, but then a time of judgment comes. That's one of our texts that explains that to us. God was patient with the Old Testament Jewish people, the Hebrew people, but they also faced judgment from time to time. Paul used himself as an example. He called himself the worst of sinners and then said this in 1 Timothy 1:16, "For that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Whew! Look there. Turns out patience is pretty important. And God's patience has a very clear and specific purpose in bringing people to him. As we've noticed with the fruit of the Spirit, we once again see other-directedness in this fruit of the Spirit. Patience is other-directed. If we get too self-directed, too much self in control, I'm in charge, I'm in control, that's when patience goes away. We are called to be patient for the sake of others. Says Romans 15:1, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." We always see, and here again we see interconnectedness of the fruit of the Spirit. Here, patience is a prerequisite for establishing peace. Our willingness to be wronged, to absorb evil patiently without retaliating, all these help break the cycle of vengeance and allow for healing and for peace. So obviously, forgiveness is part of peace. Forgiveness is unimaginable apart from patience. You can't be impatient with someone and forgive them at the same time. I don't think it's humanly possible. The parable of the unmerciful servant shows this clearly, reminds us of the prayer Jesus taught us, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That does not mean, by the way, that if we become unforgiving for a season that we are not forgiven of our sins. I mean, God wants us to be forgiving because he is forgiving. And implied, as I said in that, is patience. And of course, those of you who've heard the other Fruit of the Spirit sermons know that there's a predictable part of the sermon coming up. If I asked for a show of hands, who's all in favor of patience, we'd have all the hands go up. Everybody likes it. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants it. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs to improve at it. We all like it. But I wonder, do the people that know you say he or she is a patient person? Some of you, I bet some of you do. I bet some of you are known that way. So once again, it helps us to look at the obstacles to this fruit of the Spirit coming from God to us. While I was working on this sermon, I remembered that I hadn't bookmarked the official United States Time website, and so I found it. And then, this was a while back, I realized that my watch was 12 seconds slow. Now, this is true, but I, of course, used this true humorous story to make a point. We get tied to our clocks, as I demonstrated earlier. We segment and regulate time and make it harder for us to be truly patient. There are some advantages to being timely and on time and setting your watch to the right time and so on. I'm not suggesting we abandon this, Working together on a project, for example, if we say we have to build this or clean that or do something together, it's very important that everybody come to do the work at the same time. It's really quite important. All of us know that many hands make light work. And so if the only one person's on time, not much gets done. If everyone's on time, then there's harmony and productivity, good productivity. We should realize the temptation to be ruled by time, or it will happen and keep patience out of our lives. It actually helped me a lot. The watch that I referred to that was 12 seconds slow, when it quit, I didn't replace it, didn't fix it. I figure I got a clock right there in my pocket, which I remembered to turn the sound off of, and then it helps to not be so ruled by it. I'm not criticizing those who wear watches. I've done it for like over 50 years. But sometimes it helps to specifically find a way to not be ruled by the clock. And then I wonder, do you think you can hoard time? Think about how we talk about time. We call it my time. We think it's mine to control. We sometimes hold this conviction so strongly that we've even developed a saying, time is money. I remember one father whose son said that to him. He says, what are you talking about? You don't have a job. Time's not money for you. But anyway, that's an aside. Think how we speak of time. We talk about spending time, buying time, saving time, wasting time, managing time, and investing time, don't we? All of those are familiar. All of us have probably used those words. Again, I'm not criticizing if you use some of those phrases, but I wonder if that prevents us from seeing time as a gift. It is one of God's creatures. If we see time as ours to spend, you know what happens? Interruptions, then, are viewed as intrusions and disruptions. Don't we sometimes feel someone has taken too much of our time? In fact, I know sometimes when I've conquered that little part of my life and feel free to share and take time to listen to someone or to talk with them, they sometimes say, oh, I'm sorry for taking so much of your time. What did they take? They didn't take anything. Don't apologize for spending time together with another person. Can we really hope to be patient with people if we believe our time is our own? Please don't see interruptions, but see people and opportunities. It's not easy. All of this patience business is the reason people have been anticipating it and looking forward to it. And it's not a simple answer. There's no little checklist and then everything will be perfect. But part of it is to see people and opportunities and relationships instead of seeing interruptions. We should devote time, not spend it or waste it or invest it. Sometimes when we focus too much, you see productivity is on the top. If we focus too much on productivity, if we exalt productivity and get out of balance, then we create an obstacle. Too much value on productivity is likely to damage our serenity, is likely to fill us with some guilt. It's almost certain to wear us out. If we don't have a balance, we get tired. We don't value apparently unproductive activities like raising and playing with children, reading, maturing our faith, prayer. Not always, but sometimes. We don't want to waste our time. A hectic lifestyle and use of time really makes it hard to bear the fruit of patience. Being patient, yielding control, seems too passive and feels like weakness. We tend to think it's doing nothing, and that nothing could be worse. I actually practiced this week. One morning, I came a little before she did, and Miss Hilaria said, is the air conditioning on yet? I said, no, not yet. Well, why not? I said, I'm working on a sermon on patience. A small step, but you know, every little step helps. Another obstacle is going faster. The need for speed. We want what we want when we want it, and that's almost always now. One study showed that 87% of overnight deliveries are not needed the next day. Isn't that interesting? Technology has driven some to the tyranny of the urgent. Things used to happen in their time, more so than when you have a telephone in your pocket and a computer at your side. These aren't bad things, but sometimes they drive away patience. We've created through consumerism and technology a trap, and we can sometimes be trapped by time. Many worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. Vacations sometimes are hard work and lots of planning and figuring and go, go, go. Some of you, as have I, had to rest up after a vacation. It's easy to say, but I will say it anyway. Patience requires slowing down. Why do many of us get frustrated or even angry when we have to wait in a grocery line or a stoplight or road construction? And for newcomers on Guam, get used to it. But we have to. We have to wait. There are often times where nobody's at fault, or maybe somebody made a mistake and there's an accident, and we have to be patient, whether you like it or not. But then the question comes, how will you feel? How will the smoke come out of your ears? Or will you relax and also be at peace and have some joy and some love as you wait? Because you have to wait. When we give up our control, we may well see opportunities we have missed. That's why it helps to know the creator of the universe and to know that he's in control. I remember a time where we set up in our former church a little bit of an evangelism plan. I'm going to tell you about it real briefly. If you are run by the clock, if you are scheduled and every minute of your day and week is scheduled, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Write in your schedule 20 minutes to see what God will do. 20 minutes. You know, you may want to improve more on that later, but just write in 20 minutes to see what God will do. When this happened, when we talked about this in our other church, it wasn't my idea. One of our evangelism committee members came up with the idea and shared it with the congregation. That very week, I was, as often, kind of running tight, and I always need to do one more little thing, and I always often say, there's no minute like the last minute, and I got one more thing to get done before we have to leave to go to Rose's sister for dinner, and down to the last minute. Everything is scheduled. And just had heard this plan. I just had heard that we should take some time to see what God will do, and I'm driving down the highway, Highway 10, for those of you who know Northwest Iowa. And what do I see but a car on the side of the road? Don't! Now what am I going to do? Here's somebody, a neighbor, needing some help. But if I have to help him, and we're halfway between Highway 75 and Haywarden, and if I have to help him get back to Haywarden, there's no way I'm going to make it to dinner on time, and I'm having this, you can hear this huge discussion in my head about how am I going to handle this, and should I stop or should I not stop? This guy needs help, but maybe somebody else could help him, our convenient excuse. But I decided to stop. And you know what God did for me that day? This guy, car stopped, kind of an old beater. Do you need a ride to town? No, just give me a ride to my house. Where's that? Well, it's that way, toward Orange City, on Highway 10. I had to go out of my way about from here to the piano. We made it on time to dinner. I almost let an opportunity get away. I introduced myself. People ask, what do you do? And I say, I'm a pastor, and that always leads to interesting conversations. We don't know what kind of seed was planted that day, but we do know it was a good thing to stop, let God have control of the time instead of me, and plant a seed and let God make it grow if it will. If you get delayed, it's a great time to watch God at work. I have many times when I thought, what's the holdup? What's the problem? Why are we not moving? And then had an opportunity to see someone or meet someone that I wouldn't have met otherwise. God is in control, and if we let him, he'll present opportunities to us if we lighten up on our time. Of course, we should ask God for this precious fruit of the Spirit. As we said earlier, we all admire patience in others. We should be patient with others, not just see patience in others. We should see time as a gift to us, not what is ours to control. Do we sometimes get impatient because people don't meet our expectations or our timetable? I pray we will notice and change, even if it's little steps. I admit it, I've made some really tiny steps, but I pray that we will change and notice how we speak about time. Avoid thinking about and talking about investing our time in something or someone, as that implies expectation of return on my investment. As I said earlier, instead, let's think to devote time to someone, which means we acknowledge their worth, and ours is an act of devotion. Receiving the gift of patience means to play the cards you're dealt. Don't try to change the game, or change games, or quit. You are where God wants you to be, and you will be where God wants you to be, and so enjoy the journey. Follow God's guidance. How often do we say that? I'm going to tell you it's something very practical, something that we can do when we're waiting in a line at a store. Receiving the gift of patience, playing the cards you're dealt. Patience requires suffering with someone but not enabling. Helping people does not have to be practical. We can't just help for so long, so many clicks or ticks, and then quit. Thinking of patience leads to a few words about devotions. I do not advocate guilt if you don't do devotions for a certain number of minutes each day or even if you miss a day. Now, I'm not speaking for that. Regular devotions is a very good thing. But do you realize that sometimes that can become sort of a separate trip, a trick? I didn't read for enough minutes. If you read God's word, he'll get into you however much time you devote to him. To any who would say, I can't find time for devotions, I would tell you, you have your priorities mixed up, or you have too much emphasis on productivity, or feel too much to be and need to be in control. Many of us would benefit from what Henri Nouwen calls strange periods of uselessness. He was talking about prayer. Prayer can allow us to be patient and avoid too much emphasis on constant productivity. Prayers answered doesn't mean we'll always like the answer. It might be good to yield control to God as we ask him for patience. One of my high school students from my former church came up with an example. He said, prayer is sometimes seen like a crane machine. You know, the thing that drops down and you hope it will pick up a valuable toy. And he said, sometimes you get what you want, and sometimes you don't. Often you don't, is what he said. As I said, if you're run by a calendar, insert or schedule some slack time. It might help you more than you know, and in ways you can't guess. If I begin my day, I made that mistake on purpose, okay? Is it my day? No, it's God's day. If I begin the new day God has given me, with every minute planned, it won't be easy to be patient when anything unexpected comes up. I'm going to suggest that we try to allow for some unexpected. I pray that many of you are at least willing to schedule the 20 minutes if you're that scheduled. Or you're willing to back off on your expectations if you think you have a tight schedule. Be willing to be interrupted. And don't look at it as a bad thing. Look at it as an opportunity. I may have shared before, I read a book called When God Winks at You. And it goes to great length to describe what I believed for a long time, that there's no such thing as coincidence. Well, there is a thing called coincidence, but it really is God at work incognito. It's God providing opportunities. Something comes up you didn't expect. God most likely did that. I'm not saying the evil one can't do it, but usually it's an opportunity for ministry, for sharing, for a relationship, for some joy and peace, and even some love. Always treat people with respect, not as interruptions in your day. Some would benefit from that. My plan to go snorkeling or swimming occasionally, a little slack time. I don't feel guilty about that anymore since I've been working on this fruit of the Spirit stuff, to enjoy some fellowship with another person and with God's creation. In balance, of course. Can't quit your job to go snorkeling. Okay? Balance. We know at times of illness or injury that it takes patience. You might not have known this, although the medical people with us probably did. It takes one full year. Sorry, Matthew. It takes one full year for a broken bone to completely heal. A full year. That's God's time. You know what? Other kinds of brokenness take more. Broken relationships can happen in an instant, but years to heal. One scientific study showed foster care children will often take 3 to 4 months to heal from each month of neglect or abuse. 3 to 4 times as long to heal as it takes to get brokenness. Patience is required. Once a turn is made, recovery and healing are rarely quick. Be patient. And as we conclude, I want to ask this. Is patience something that you do, or is it something that you have or endure? I know I'm becoming predictable because I'm going to say the same thing I've said in some of the other sermons. Practice patience. Most of you have memorized the fruit of the Spirit, and that is awesome. Now I want you to, as we've gone through these, when you memorize them, ask yourself if you've practiced. And if you haven't, think of a way to practice. In this case, practice patience. If it's fruit of the Spirit, it isn't something that you get or have, it's something that you give. It's a sacrifice. And you know what? Patience costs. Doing it is when you receive and share and are blessed by patience. Sometimes it has to be a very conscious and intentional action. Sometimes we need to be assertively patient. And most of the time, we need to be reminded. Remind each other gently and in love to be patient. We need patience, active and passive, just sticking with it and holding on when everything is saying let go. You know why? Because God is patient with our impatience. We are not truly patient until we submit to God, till we know that He is in control and we are not. If you have not received patience in your life, I encourage you to give yourself to Jesus Christ or to rededicate yourself to Him and let Him have control. You know what? The first part of that is easier than the last. I don't know why. It really is easier to give yourself or rededicate yourself to Jesus Christ than it is to truly let Him have control. But when He does, and when we do, when we let Him have control, He fills you with His Spirit and will give you patience and all of the other fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that You have called us to be Your people and that You have chosen, it amazes us, that You have chosen to give us everything we need to be Your faithful, humble servants. We focus this morning on patience. We're talking about the other fruit of the Spirit that You have chosen to give us and that You want us to have. And Lord, I pray that each of us will make progress in allowing those gifts to come to us and allowing us to practice them and to use them for the good of others and for the good of Your kingdom. Lord, You are awesome. We can't thank You enough. But we will continue to worship You and praise You. We will continue to give You honor and glory. And we'll ask You to continually come into our lives and fill us and use us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.